Thank you. That was awesome. That was really, really, really awesome. Hallelujah. What I want to do, I know one in particular, I know Sue has a little testimony to go along with this sign. I'm going to give you a chance to give a brief testimony.
Yesterday when I went to the store to buy this, I started to go into one store and it was crowded, and so I thought, no, I'll go next door to the dollar store. And anyway, so I'm looking around there, couldn't find it, and I asked the young man if he had anything like a poster board, and everything was flimsy, and I said, I have nothing better, and two colors, I wanted two colors. He said, yeah, I do. So he's pulling out things and showing me, and he said, what do you have in a garage sale? I said, no, it's for church. He said, church? And I said, do you go to church? He said, I do. And he said, so I guess you do. Anyway, conversation came as we're going through deciding. He'd pick the colors on this thing. And he said, I asked him if he was married, and he said, no, I have a girlfriend, and she's a Pentecostal. I'm a Christian. I said, you mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, but I want that. And he said, so tell me what the words are on your... So I told him about what the words I wanted, from black and white and gray to color. And he was just beaming. He said, could I write that out for you? So he wrote this sign for me. And he said, I really needed to be encouraged today. So you never know what's going to happen.
You never know. Simple sign. Anybody else have a testimony to go along with? No? Huh? Yeah.
Well, Sue, I just want to say that, you know, my heart for testimony has been for a long time. That you're a living example, right, in that young man that you met. You said earlier, Pastor, about it not being full here. Today, we put God to a test. And he says to try me, taste and see. He says, if I am lifted up, I draw all men. And each one of us in our own way lifted him up, deliverer here, counselor there, savior here, wherever. He's all been something to us. And I feel like I know everyone a little bit better. Amen. And I just look at the cardboard testimonies as being sort of like, it's like a business card. It's an entry. It's an entry to allow others to come up and say, I didn't realize this about you. Tell me about this, or I've gone through this, or my niece is going through. It's a gateway. It's a calling card to others. And what we've done is we've shown a little bit of Jesus and who he is. And it's just a beautiful thing. Let's grow on it.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'll share just a little bit about what I held up. That, you know, I was in my early 30s, and I had my own business. I had sold my business. I had income from rental incomes and so on and so forth. I was ready to semi-retire in my early 30s, because all I wanted to do was follow in my father's footsteps and start building houses. And that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to build a couple houses every year and have an income from that. But God had different plans. Came to know the Lord, and he just came in and changed all those plans. Never did any of that. But I have no regrets. I have no regrets, because for the past 40 years, been just serving him here full time in ministry. And he, like I said, his plans are always the best. And he has a plan for the rest. Amen? Did you want to share something, Haiti?
I wanted to share my experience in the last 4 months. My doctor had asked me to take some tests because she believed that I had cancer, because my father had died from cancer. And she really believed that I had cancer. So I went to 4 different tests. The 4 tests came back negative.
Hallelujah.
And my last test that she asked me to take, the doctor took x-rays and blood work, and they said that my organs were perfect, that my blood was perfect.
Praise God.
And that I did have a little arthritis on my left shoulder.
Join the club. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is anybody in a rush? You have time for a little sharing? Sure.
Just one other thing, and this is really important, at least to me. I think that we just started something today. We shared basically our life testimony. You know, yours, mine. Last night when I showed Doreen what I wrote, she said, way too long. It was a little bit of a novel. I had to pare it down like three times to get it to that. I have many words, and there was a lot more to it. But this is the point. We have to understand that God never stops writing. He's writing today. He'll write tomorrow. He's writing tonight. He never stops working and doing. And we realistically, we have a testimony all the time. Constant, overflowing testimonies of how he's performing his goodness and his faithfulness through our lives and in our lives to us. So this is sort of an exercise. It's easy to think back and say, well, this is what I came from, and this is how I was saved, and this was the big thing in my life. But what I challenge you, I want to do this again. I'm going to bug you if I have to, whatever, to do this with some regularity and ask you to start digging and reading him. Understand what your testimony is day to day, from week to week, or season to season. He's bringing us through the seasons of life. We all have testimonies. As we get more well-versed in being able to share that beautiful aspect of his, whatever he's doing in our life, that's when we'll see this place fill up.
Amen.
That's holding him up, glorifying him, and he draws all men to see that people who want to. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm surprised you didn't say it. You've said it many times. There's power in our testimony. Amen? There's power in our testimony. I'm going to share something, and I'm not going to be long, but I just feel being the end of the year, there's something I just want to share with you. And it comes from, if you're not already recording, you could start recording. It comes from a portion of Scripture in John 7, and I've read this before, and I'm sure you probably have too. But I found it so enlightening. There were so many things in it that jumped out at me. And one in particular, have any of you ever been involved in the debate whether or not Jesus had brothers or sisters? Right? There's always been a question, absolutely not. Yes, he did. Well, I've never seen this, but I feel this portion of Scripture makes it so crystal clear. Because they've always said, yes, when the Bible refers to Jesus' brothers, he's talking about, you know, his disciples, those that he was been ministering with the last few years, as we call each other, Brother Rich, you know, Brother Paul, you know, and that's how they get around the fact and say, no, he never had any biological brothers. But I want to read you something. In John 7, I'm not going to read the whole thing, I'm only going to read certain portions of it. But this is, a lot of debate has been going on now. Jesus has exposed himself, all right, and people are either believing in him or hating him, chasing him, wanting to kill him, wanting to put him in jail. And he's now walking around in Galilee because he didn't want to go to Judea, it says in John 7, John chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. It says he didn't want to go to Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. And you know, every time I read this, and when I hear Jesus referring to the Jews, it always puzzles me. Jesus was a Jew. But he refers to all these people that are persecuting him as the Jews. Me personally, I don't want to get into debate with anybody. Me personally, when he began his ministry, he no longer just associated himself or saw himself as just being a Jew anymore now. Now he was the Son of God. Amen? But anyway, he says, I'm not going to go to Judea. They want him to go to Judea, but I'm not going there because the Jews sought to kill him. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. I want you to understand that the Feast of Tabernacles, from what I read, is 9 days, 9 days long. Now listen to what it says here. His brothers therefore said to him, his brothers, depart from here and go into Judea. They were actually taunting him. His brothers therefore said to him, depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. Why would they refer, if they were disciples and not his biological brothers, why would he be referring to these disciples? I think it's a clear distinction there that just settles it for me. I'm sure there are other theologians who can debate it. That your disciples may see the works that you're doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. They were taunting him. And listen to what it says. For even his brothers didn't believe in him. Now you say, oh my God, how could they not believe in him? And I started thinking to myself, I grew up in a family, I had five brothers. Now, if one of my brothers was, say, about 33 years old, and I was 31, and another brother was 29, another one 32, and we had wrestled, and we had gotten in trouble, and we broke Daddy's lawnmower, and we climbed out at night, and maybe drank a little bit, and caroused around, and all of a sudden, one of them says, hey, I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. We would have said, yeah, right. Come on, we grew up together. I know who you are. So I don't want to condemn these guys for not necessarily believing in him. You understand? They had seen him maybe in his worst times growing up. So he turned to them and he said in verse 8, he says, no, you guys go up to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time hasn't fully come yet, okay? But listen, in verse 10, but when his brothers had gone, when they left, then he also went. He kind of snuck up, not openly, but as it were, in secret. He went up. Now it was about the middle of the feast, so it must have been maybe 4 or 5 days into this feast, and Jesus actually went into the temple and began teaching. Well, there was a lot of debate going on. Who believed in him? Some did. Some hated him. Some cursed him. Some wanted to kill him. But there's one portion of scripture that I just want to concentrate on this morning, found in verse 37. Now, here he had been, he's 9 days. He went into the temple, he's preaching, he's doing this, he's doing that, and it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. On that last day, the great day of the feast. Now, here we are. Here we are, the last day of the year. Amen? I just thought there was a relevancy. It's the last day of the year. Tomorrow we begin a new year. And what do you do as the year ends? If you've been watching any TV, you've been even on Facebook, you'll see some, you know, the celebrities that have died in 23, famous events that took place in 23, looking back over the course of the year, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? And then we also look forward. We look forward to the new year. There's something about 1 year ending and another year beginning. Tomorrow is really just going to be another day, just like any other day. But in our minds and in our countenance and in our being, we consider it different. And we sometimes wait. We wait to make decisions. We call them resolutions. People make New Year's resolutions. Do you know it's a fact? I can't remember the exact figures, but it's like 80 to 85% of all New Year's resolutions have failed after 5 weeks into the new year. You know, we all wait. I'm going to lose weight. I'm starting a diet tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll make it 5 weeks, but I'm going to try. You know, we even throughout the year, it's in the week. The weekend is coming. You say, well, there's no sense starting a diet now. The weekend's coming. Might as well wait till Monday. Every Monday I start a diet. Every Monday. So there's something about a year ending and a year believing. We try all year long, but for some reason, we procrastinate, don't we? Now, Jesus had been sharing and witnessing throughout the days of this feast. And like I said, there was a lot of talk, a lot of debate, a lot of anger. But now it is the last day. So my question to you here this morning is, are you contemplating this coming year? This is going to be one heck of a year. This 2024, an election year. I mean, all that's going on in the world. I mean, this is going to be one year to remember. Okay? I can't wait till it's over just to see where we are this time next year. Because between now and then, forget about it. The commercials, the campaigning, the politics, the this, the courts. I mean, with the whole Trump thing and all the charges and that they got to go to court over all of this stuff. I mean, the news, I don't watch it as it is, the news anymore, but I'm going to make sure I don't watch it at all because it's just going to annoy me. But are you contemplating this coming year? Certain things, maybe you're considering moving. You're going to do it this year. Maybe you're considering retiring. We make decisions, you know, and we look forward as to what's coming. But we are not only in the last day of the year, but as we've been sharing, and many are sharing all over the world, we are in the last days. We are in the last. There's no more. It's very risky today to say, well, you know, I'll really get my act together with God. I'll give it another year or two. You know, I remember when we were first saved and we first came to the knowledge of what was going on and there was a second coming and he was coming back and life as we know it was going to change, right? I remember as a young Christian accepting him in my 20s, having a couple little kids, you know, and two more yet to come. I remember saying, you know, Lord, you know, not yet, you know. I want you to come in. It sounds great what's going to happen, but I mean, I want to grow up. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to have a few grandchildren, you know? And that was the mentality, and probably many of you can relate to that. I'm not ready to wrap this up here yet, okay? But, you know, now, as I'm older, and I see what's going on in the world and where the world is going, and how depraved and immoral and how crazy it is. Now, every day I'll say, today's as good as any, Lord. Come on, Lord. Now as good a time as any. So we're in the last days. You know, so maybe you're thinking this coming year, I'm gonna try to be more Christ-like. I really, you know, I've tried throughout my walk. But I really want, I'm gonna read more, I'm gonna pray more, I'm gonna fast more. You know, we always do this when there's a new year coming. You know, I really want Christ to be Lord of my life as much as possible. And you know, that's how we may not say it in those exact words, but that's really, we're trying to make him Lord of as much as possible in our lives. And there's an old saying, I actually think it was made into a song. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. That's really the bottom line. Either he's Lord or he's not. He can't be Lord today and not tomorrow. He can't be Lord in this situation, but this is a little too tough. I don't know if I can't have him be Lord over that. You know, Jesus has exhibited all the patience, my goodness. Even in the days of that feast, that 9 days, I mean, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was doing, he was sharing. Okay, and it came right up to the last day. And even with us here now, at this last day of the year, he's still pleading with us. He wants to pour out more grace upon our lives. That's the kind of guy he is. You know, it's not like, I'll give you this much and that's it. That's enough. You got enough. He would give us more than we can. Wildest imaginations. What does the scripture say? Above and beyond all we could ever think or imagine or whatever, he's got prepared for us. I have to give him a lot of credit for putting up with us year after year. Come on. You can't relate to that? He puts up with an awful lot with us, not to mention how we provoke him. Lord, what's going on? I was diagnosed. How could you let this happen to me? I've been serving you for 15 years. How could you let this happen to me? How could you let this happen? We provoke him. We actually provoke him. Well, how about our rebelliousness? When you know he wants you to do something and you say, nah, I don't want to do that. That's not me, you know. How many times do we resist his Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit is prompting us, it could be as simple as you're in a diner having lunch and the Holy Spirit says, talk to that waitress. Oh, you can't say waitress anymore. Talk to that server. They're going through something. You know, like Moses. But I can't talk. God, what are you kidding me? And you don't. And you're resisting his Holy Spirit. Come on, we all do it. It's a miracle that we're still covered by his mercy. And as he cried out to them on that last day, he's still crying out to us. And we're not talking about just the loudness of his voice, which he probably did get loud. But there was tenderness, and he cried. It says he cried out for us. He wants us to be totally reconciled to him. He uses very tender terms sometimes, even through his disciples and those that wrote, you know, like Paul. Paul says, you know, in his letters, you know, we pray you do this. You know, he says, we beseech you, you know, to do this. Like, it's almost like they're begging us. Here it's all for our good, and they're begging us to receive it. It's almost like, you know, we all just exchanged a whole lot of gifts at Christmas, and, you know, you go to give your gift to somebody, and they say, that's all right. No, I got this just for you. I got enough gift. Oh, what are you kidding? I went out, I spent hours shopping, I got this, I know it's for you. You know, I probably don't even really need it. This is sometimes how we are. God's got so much for us. Like a mother, he wants to draw his children to himself. How can we resist? But we do, don't we? We do, don't we? He has everything we need to quench our soul's thirst. It's not by accident he said that if anyone out there is thirsty, let him come to me and I will give him the drink. He knows our souls are thirsty. And there's two kinds of thirst. There's this kind of thirst where you thirst after something, like the scripture says, as the deer panted for the water. He needs that water. I gotta get to that water. There's that kind of thirst. But then there's also many other kinds of thirsts in our lives. He wants to bring us to a place of peace and understanding. He wants to bring us to a place of wisdom. He wants us to experience in him all that we could ever need or desire, because he wants to quench our hunger and thirst. And he invites everyone, to drink of this water that he's offering. All you have to be is thirsty. All you have to be is thirsty. Now listen, like I said, there's a couple different kinds of thirst. There's some of us who have thirsts of a different kind. Some of us thirst after greed. We're greedy. We thirst after ambition. For our lives, we want to become somebody special. We thirst after the pleasures of life, or even more knowledge. I want to be smarter than everybody else. But here's the thing. Even those who suffer from those kinds of thirsts are invited. Some thirsts are bad. Some thirsts are sinful. But thank God the invitation isn't based on our goodness. It's an invitation to all. Whoever you're thirsty, whether you're thirsting after him, whether you're thirsting after things of the world, you're saying you're missing something. And he's got the answer. He wants to quench your thirst. And he gives it freely, without respect of persons. The Lord is the world's only hope. And he calls us before the sun sets on this last day of the year to put your trust in him. It's hopeless to trust what's out there. You know, sometimes I wish I wasn't a pastor. Sometimes I wish nobody knew me. Because I so often, when I read things on Facebook, every once in a while, I try not to go there often, but every once in a while I go. Some people post something, and man, do I want to reply. Man, do I want to respond. There was one on there just yesterday or the day before, and this one puts this kind of stuff up there. And it went on and on and on about the hopelessness. The banks are going to fail. The money is going to fail. The gold is going to fail. The stock market's going to crash. The planet's going to overheat. The oil's going to run. I wanted to say, hey, thanks for the good news. You got anything more? Man, I wanted to say that. But oh, no. I can't go there. It's hopeless out there. This world is full of hopelessness. They're putting hope in their money and their stocks and their possessions. But God offers a quenching of that thirst. And you know, you don't have to prepare. You don't have to prepare anything to go before him. There's no preparation. A fool, a thief, a harlot, anyone can come and drink. So you see, sinfulness doesn't exclude us from this invitation to believe in Jesus. But not just believe in him, but to follow him and to become more Christ-like in him. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way, and he's crying out to each and every one of us today. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So people, as we enter into this new year, yeah, you're going to make some resolutions. You know, we all do. It's the nature of the beast. But make one resolution priority in this coming year, that you're going to put him first. It's going to be a crazy year, people. You better buckle your seatbelts. You may be challenged way more than you've ever been challenged, unless you're going to just sit and keep your mouth shut, you know. But you open your mouth, you say something contrary to what's going on out there, you're in for a lot of hurt. So you better be prepared for it. People out there are chomping at the bit to bite our heads off. Amen? So just be prepared, but know that God has everything under control. He has everything. You know, I've been saying that for I don't know how long now. I'm almost getting tired of saying, but how could you ever get tired of saying it? But he does. No matter what you're going through, he's got it under control. No matter how bad it seems, he's got it under control. He's not blind. He's not deaf. He's not sleeping. He knows it all. And he has it under control. No matter how it's getting worse, he's got that under control. And as long as you put your faith in him and don't let it waver, regardless of the outcome, the outcome may not always be pretty, but it's God. He's got it under control. Amen? Amen. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for that blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. Hallelujah. Oh, as the words say, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. we have all to look forward to. 2023 is behind us. Our past is behind us. Our failures are behind us. Our shortcomings are behind us. We look forward, as Paul says, not that I've already attained, but I press on to get all that you have called me for in Christ Jesus. All. So, Father, we look forward to this year with its good times and bad times that are coming, Lord, that we will stand firm in our faith in you and our trust in you, and we will be your servants. We will be your ambassadors. Give us the ability to be able to do that to the best of our ability. Father, we thank you for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. And we'll always give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year. Blessed and Happy New Year. Join us in the cafe. We've got probably extra bagels because the Spanish ministry is having their ministry tonight. But join us. Have a cup of coffee. Let's just have a time.